At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
You should all be proud of yourself. I know I'm proud. Your parents should be proud too. We told them what we did here today, which we won't.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is House Podcastica, Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2.
And actually, we're recording this a month before you're hearing it, because we just recorded it after we recorded our season one episodes, but then we decided, since it's on Netflix now, as you're hearing this, that we would just wait till more people got a chance to watch it. So this is us a month ago. If we have changed since then this is how we used to be.
Wow.
If I have braces today and I don't have braces tomorrow, then that explains it. No, I'm kidding. Or by the time that this airs. Sorry, I was reading something online. There were arguments, people complaining about Miguel's lack of braces here in season two, and he had them in season one.
Oh,
and some people
shit.
Really had a problem with that.
Yeah, like, it's like the next day. I just happened to get them off at midnight or something.
Right.
There could have been like a day or two lag between the tournament and when they had their first class, maybe. I don't know. It only takes one appointment to take them off.
Guess you're right. Yeah. So let's get going. Top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2, Mercy Part 2, and Back in Black. How did you guys like this one?
It was good.
These two.
It was a good way to start off the new season, I think, with the introduction of Kreese, and then everyone scrambling around trying to make sense of what had happened at the big All Valley tournament. So I think they've set the season up pretty well with these first two episodes.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of the aftermath, and the Cobra Kai kids are all cocky.
Yeah.
Slacking off.
Yep.
A little too cocky.
Yeah, I agree. Good start to this second season, and good to see, like, they just jump right in, which the show does a really good job of with pacing and just kind of really keeping things moving. You know, they didn't keep us hanging with, you know, what happens when Kreese, you know, shows up there at the end. We kind of flow right into it. And I like how they started it off kind of like with those last few, I don't know, 20 seconds or so from the finale of season one. They kind of, in case you forgot, you know, where we left off, it kind of showed.
Because it was a year later.
And coming
first
out.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was nice. Good follow-up.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I hadn't seen this since it first came out, and I remember not liking season two as much, but still liking it, and that's how I felt with these two episodes. I do remember a couple of things coming later, one in particular that I just totally got a kick out of in the season, but it's been so long ago that I've pretty much forgotten just about everything else. But anyway, these two episodes I thought were good. I'm still interested in the characters, engaged and everything, and I was going to say it's not as funny, but then when I started writing down all the funny things, there were quite a few, so There's a few. There was a couple misses in there, I thought, but, you know, some good stuff too. It feels a little unfocused to me, like it feels like they're kind of pushing it. It feels like this could have wrapped up with just one season and it was so successful. And they're like, oh, let's make a season two. And they're kind of pushing similar storylines and jokes and things to a degree. So I don't know. I mean, I still liked it, but not quite as much.
Mm. Maybe you'll like it more after you podcast on it. Isn't that sometimes how it goes?
Yeah, often. Yeah.
Better feelings mm-hmm. afterwards. Mm. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Let's get into our top three. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
I'll go first. Or sorry, Richard, unless you want to.
No,
go.
No, I was going to say, totally, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I kind of mentioned, when we start out with this first episode, you know, we have Kreese there in, you know, Cobra Kai finding out he's not dead after all, which really surprised Johnny. So I thought it was really cool to kind of start that out. And I love that they started out fighting.
Yeah.
I thought
it's
that
great
was really
when they
great.
Get to the action like that, like, holy shit. Yeah. And it right. felt right because we know, like Johnny says, you ruined my life. And mm-hmm. that just one night that we saw at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, where he beat up on his students outside the tournament and tried to choke Johnny out, really made a huge impact on him. And so it kind of makes sense that he would just fight him right away. And that's the kind of thing Johnny has been talking about all season one. Like, I'd kick his ass, you know, like he put his money where his mouth was here. He just like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he held to that he was still, you know, I mean, to a degree, because I do feel I'm really sad that he's kind of falling for the bullshit Kreese is serving up, you know. I he's pulling one over on him, and I feel like Johnny's really trying to kind of change a little bit who he is, and you know, nice people give people second chances, and I feel like that's kind of what he's trying to do with Kreese, even though he's, you know, has a grudge against him. He's still like, well, I'm gonna try to be a better person and give someone a second chance when really he shouldn't be.
It's kind of this catch 22 because he's reacting against Kreese's teachings. He was put off by mm-hmm. Miguel and Hawk being assholes in the tournament and taking cheap shots and aiming for people's weak points, which is what Kreese taught Johnny to do. That kind of, you know, he's disillusioned about all that. So he's kind of reacting against Kreese by actually now showing mercy. And then Kreese is totally taking advantage of that. We think, I mean, we don't know at this point, you know, he says he wants redemption for what happened that night. And maybe that's it. But at least in the fight, we saw that he like looked in the mirror and saw flashed back to Kreese choking him out that night. And here it was reversed, him choking Kreese out. And he's like, I don't want to be like that. So we let him go. And then Kreese took advantage of it, which I thought was awesome because Kreese is
exactly. That's the way he is. And he has not changed at all. And I think I kind of like that. I mean, I don't really know that I want like a redemption arc or anything for Kreese, which I know we're only the first couple episodes in, but it's good to see that after all these years, he's still the same.
Well,
asshole,
maybe. I mean, he started off an asshole, but by the end he was apologizing and you don't believe him.
Good to see.
No.
That's funny. It's good to see he's still an asshole.
Yeah, because some people just are. Some people just never change, and I like that they're not trying to, you know, just change him or something for
except
you know,
they might
a
be
story or anything. They might, but at least so far, what we've seen, he hasn't seemed. At least in my opinion, he hasn't changed. I don't believe him for shit. You know, when he's apologizing or whatever. And I did like whenever Johnny sees his reflection and he has that flashback. You know, to after the tournament when Kreese was doing the same thing, he didn't want to be like him. And, you know, we see the flashback later when he's a little kid, you know, at the dojo. And I feel like at heart, Johnny is still that little kid when he first walked into the Cobra Kai dojo.
And Kreese was his surrogate father, which is a theme in this, and then just crushed him that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though it wasn't his real dad, it was, like you said, it's his father
figure. Well,
it's who he looked up to. And, you know, when someone that you look up to like that does something like that to you, that's really tragic to a person. And really, I mean,
he didn't have his own father. His stepdad was a piece of shit. So he looked to Kreese for that.
Yeah.
And Kreese just kind of crushed him there.
I'm thinking about what Dan said last week and how he totally looked up to his sensei.
What if Sabu Nim had just beat the crap out of Dan?
That probably would have turned Dan's out completely life. Different, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. So that's my number three.
Number three. Richard. I think I'm going to go with that too. I like the fight between Johnny and Kreese. There was some surprises, in that fight. It's like, well, first of all, the whole fight to me was a surprise. It was like Johnny just attacked him, and I'm like, yeah! Yeah. But then there were some surprises in the fight. You realize this is really only the second time we ever get to see Johnny fight. First time was in the beginning of the first season when he kicked those kids' ass outside the convenience store, right? And then
I thought you meant, yeah, because back in Karate Kid he fought, but
an adult. Right. Yeah. So this is our second time, and
except when he's kind of attacking Miguel in the studio a couple times, but I guess that doesn't really
training
count.
Him, but it's not like a full on fight.
It was full bore.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kicking high. He was pretty limber, pretty quick. I was like, kept himself in shape. It was cool. And I don't care what your feelings are about Kreese, that old man kicks ass. He's got to be what, in his 70s? He's still kicking ass.
He's got to be like 74. And he was kicking ass. His crescent kick was way better than mine. Let me tell you that. I was impressed. I was like, holy shit, look at the height on that crescent kick.
Right. He was breathing heavy, which I thought was a good little element of realism, because I'm sure they could have waited until, Martin Cove, wasn't so tired and started filming then, but anyway.
Yeah, and he looks the part too, doesn't he? He's kind of got that, I don't know, he's like, kind of looks a combination of creepy and badass all at the same time. But then, like you said, Rima, Johnny was choking out the old man, and just like when Kreese did to Johnny after the tournament in Karate Kid 2, and then Johnny sees, it's like, oh shit, the circle is now complete.
Right.
I'm looking him up on, let's see. Well, it says he was in Rambo.
Is it the first one?
No, the First Blood Part 2, Rambo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I feel like I saw him in that. I don't know. It's been such a long time since I saw that. Anyway. It's
been a long time since I saw Rambo 2, First Blood. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we should all come over to my house and watch Over the Top.
I know. That's our homework. I was thinking about having that be what you said at the end of the podcast. Here's your homework, everybody.
Oh.
I'm down for that. That is one homework assignment I will do. I love that damn movie.
It was hilarious.
So
when that baseball cap gets turned around, you better clear the area.
That's hilarious. All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Same thing. Johnny and Kreese. They fought right out of the gate. It feels really good that, personally, I would prefer that people find ways out of conflicts rather than fighting. But if I'm watching a karate show, I put all that aside and I want to see some action. But, it felt great that Johnny's standing up to him. He's kind of coming to his own, as we've seen in season one, and now he's standing up to Kreese, so that he could have went the other way, he could have crumbled. So that was cool. As far as what Kreese wants, he says at first that, kids today are coddled. They get trophies just for showing up. And we know Johnny thinks the same way. So they align there, probably because Kreese taught Johnny that, or, it's coming from the same line of teaching and thinking. And I don't totally disagree, by the way, but later.
Me too.
Yeah. But anyways, as Johnny said, hey, you're just trying to find my weakness like you always did. And so we don't know if we can really believe anything that Kreese says. And in the end, or, not in the end, in the middle, he's like, for years, I've regretted that night. So he really did focus in on the thing that Johnny was most upset about. And he apologizes for being too hard on Johnny. And he says, just remember, I'm the guy who always rooted for you, which is pretty powerful, because you're like, yeah, that's true. And then he has that second place trophy, which I'm like, whoa, what's he doing with that? Like, did he go? Like, that does probably mean something that he still has it, I guess. that's, unless he went and bought one that looked exactly like it, which I guess is entirely possible, but I don't know. Anyways, it does. I would assume it's a big manipulation. Otherwise, it seems kind of boring of a story that Kreese, the villain, comes back and wants to turn into a good guy and redeem himself. But we'll see. We get a little bit of his history. He says what he did after. He says Cobra Kai shut down, so that makes me wonder if maybe it shut down because he attacked his students that night and, you know, nobody wanted to be a student anymore. But anyways, he re-enlisted in the military, and we saw pictures of him in, like, his fatigues and camouflage in his dojo back in Karate Kid. But anyways, he ran strikes in Desert Storm. He trained SEALs in Afghanistan, all that. He's kind of bragging about his military time in Panama in 89, helping the Delta Boys get Noriega, all that. But anyways, I'm with you, Rima. I don't know if we should believe him. But anyways, at this point, he's sort of weaseling his way in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was a little, like... unclear. One of the reasons why I said it was unfocused is, like, he tells Johnny, I want to redeem myself. I need a second chance. And then when Johnny brings him into the class, he goes, this guy's just observing, pay him no attention. And so it's like, well, what did he tell Johnny he wanted to observe or what? And then when he says he wants to come back the next day, Johnny seems surprised by it. So it's a little unclear what this relationship is supposed to be and what Kreese said he wanted and what Johnny agreed to, you know, all that sort of wishy-washy, I feel like, right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It is ambiguous.
Yeah. And then last, it was great to see Daniel confront Kreese at the end there. That was a tense moment.
Yeah.
Dead my ass. And then the way Kreese said, well, what do you know? The gang's all back together. Almost all of us. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, but Daniel heading there. Back with a good one. So
what do you say? Oh, how's your knuckles?
How's your knuckles? Yeah.
And I mean, because Miyagi took care of Kreese at the beginning of Karate Kid 2 just by dodging out of his way, and he kept punching through cars. But then in 3, I think he fought him proper. I got to go back and watch that again, which we will have done by the time you guys are hearing this, by the way. But anyway, you saw it recently, right, Rich?
Yeah, the whole knuckle thing's a big issue with Kreese. In fact, I think I just watched Karate Kid 3 a couple of nights ago, and there's one part where he tells his partner in crime there to make Daniel's knuckles bleed.
Oh, just because
so that's even like a bigger tie-in.
Yeah, he wants to get him back.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah. Kreese, that's my number 3.
When he took out that trophy out of his duffel bag. I thought the same thing. I was like, what's he up to? But then I was like, oh, look, I was watching it with my wife. I'm like, look, honey, he's got his trophy. And my wife, totally deadpan, was like, don't fall for his bullshit.
Yeah, I'm with your wife. Smart woman. Smart.
I mean,
woman.
I wasn't falling for it to the point where I would be like, oh yeah, Johnny should totally invite him in as a co-business partner. But it did kind of hit me when he said, I was the only one who rooted for you. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice.
He's I think there's a little truth, I get that, I really do, but I think that he's known Johnny since he was a little kid, and he's known every button to push, and he knows just what he needs to say to get, you know, Johnny in his good graces. Right. And I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I'm sure that he, you know, some things that he says, well, I was the one that was rooting for you. I was the one that was here. And
which is what's great about this show, that it's not black and white, right? It's complicated. Right. And that's what makes it more human. 'Cause I think things aren't so neat like that in real life.
Exactly.
I think Johnny really thought he was dead too. 'Cause he says,
yeah,
I thought you were dead. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Johnny was lying. And then Kreese like,
yeah, right,
you ain't
yeah.
the only one, kid.
It's funny.
Okay, where are we? Rima, number 2.
Yep. Okay, so I really liked, and you kind of touched on it earlier, Jay, whenever you were talking about it, but I really liked that Johnny called out all the Cobra Kai's for their behavior at the tournament. And doing that kind of despite Kreese being there. Like, he, you know, was like, I don't care. I'm not cool with that behavior. And
no, he wasn't there yet.
What
it was the first day.
I thought Kreese was there.
He wasn't there yet. It was the first time that they got back in the dojo before, wasn't it? Or am I totally wrong?
No, yeah, I don't think Kreese was there yet, because he made him do 50 push-ups, right?
Yeah,
or something like that.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, okay. My bad. sometimes watching these two episodes back to back, you really start to kind of skew some of the scenes. Okay, so my bad. But either way, I still thought it was really great that he called him out for the behavior that, you know, as far as like the, you know, punching someone or kicking someone in the back when their, you know, back is turned, or, you know, Miguel when he's, you know, kind of taking advantage of the fact that Robbie was injured and, you know, tugging on his arm to kind of make it worse and such. I like that because it's, you know, kind of goes against what he was taught and how, you know, Kreese taught him, and that he's trying to be better. And he, you know, I think, you know, we know because we talked about it in the finale episode, you know, where he was, you know, really disappointed with them. But I like how he calls it out and kind of gives them a little, not really punishment, but
scolding.
You know, yeah, scolding, makes them do those push-ups and, you know, and I love that he told everyone to, that they had to put their white belts back on.
Yeah, yeah. Starting
that
over.
They,
yeah, it's like wiping
over
the slate clean. He is doing that for himself. Like he told Miguel, I'm still learning. So he's like, let's start over. And the difference is from what he was doing before is, he wants it to be more honorable, and he says the strongest one is the one who defeats his opponent when he's strongest. So it's, to me, it's like, that's good, but what about strike first, strike hard, no mercy? I mean, it's still not perfect, maybe, you know, but it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To say, to change your viewpoint to, you know what, it's more honorable to beat someone who's also strong versus trying to take advantage of their weaknesses or whatever. I mean, how does that jive with no mercy? And later he says, I was never taught the difference between mercy and honor, and I suffered for that. And I'm like, I don't really know if that makes sense. I'm trying to figure out what he means by that. So it still feels like he's a bit confused, but he's just trying to be different from Kreese and trying to be better.
I think he's still trying to figure it out. I mean, yeah, yeah. Like at the tournament, you know, he was, you know, he swept the leg, you know, like Kreese was, you know, telling him to, you know, whenever Daniels, you know, had his injured leg and, you know, sweep the leg. And he's like, but I can beat him. You know, I don't, you know, Johnny
was
telling him,
right?
I can beat him.
Even then, he was like, I don't have to resort to this.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, so I like that he's, you know, trying to start over with them, trying to make them earn their, well, still amazes me how they could still, like, it seems like such a short time be at a black belt level, but whatever, it's fine. It moves it forward. but, you know, kind of taking that away from them and making them start over. And I liked his training methods and how, you know, you can kind of see the differences between differences, but yet similarities between how Johnny and Daniel were teaching their students. They were teaching them the same things, like working in circles as a team, different methods and going about it a different way. But still, you know, how they were still kind of using like the same kind of principles, just applying them differently. So I just thought all that was really fun. And I really liked that of Johnny. I was glad to see that from his character.
Maybe Johnny should change it from strike first, strike hard, show no mercy to strike first, strike less hard and show a little mercy.
Yeah, they'll have to get someone in there to repaint those.
New decals.
Right. Stuff starts to get complicated when it's real, right?
I know, exactly. Strike first, unless it's a weaker opponent.
Yeah.
Rich?
That was a great lead-in, Rima, because my second one is the juxtaposition that the director, the showrunners, you know, that the showed of the teaching styles that you just touched on between the two dojos. You know, the Miyagi-Do is calm and peaceful in a nice garden setting.
Cobra all about Kai, balance.
Yeah. His insults and posturing in a, you know, this big bare room with a giant mirror on the wall so they can all see how badass they are. Miyagi-Do's focuses on balance. Yeah, exactly. And then Cobra Kai, you know, focuses on toughness and strength.
Yeah.
Johnny and Daniel, they're both working on the same thing, like you said, Rima. I saw it as they were both working on teamwork. But Miyagi-Do accomplishes it more like with a partnership, kind of like, you know, like a almost like a dancing routine Whereas Cobra Kai is more like a just like a football team or something.
Brute force.
In your face.
And I was sort of wondering that whole cement mixer thing. I was like, what is this accomplishing? But I got it after it took me a second watch. But it's like he was pissed off that they were basically feeling like they could relax after they had won the tournament and also mm-hmm. making fun of him, which isn't cool. And so this is about pushing forward. He says you push forward like champions, never stop, never being satisfied, never giving up. So I guess he was just trying to give them an experience of just pushing really hard and seeing how if they could do something that they if they pushed so hard that they didn't think they could do.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool scene. And then he says, your parents would be proud too if you told them what we did here today, which we won't.
Yes, which we won't.
Which we won't. Emphasizing that.
I love that. It's so funny.
That's the best. So funny.
Yeah.
Also, go ahead. I wanted to say before I forget, what we were talking about earlier, where Johnny was, you know, kind of admonishing them for attacking, you know, when he was hurt and hurting him and stuff like that. Johnny had an actual teachable moment with Miguel when Miguel came into the office and, you know, was trying to question what the hell is going on. Why do we have to do 50 pushups? Why'd you put us back to white belts? And he tells him he's hard on him because he sees his potential to be better than he ever was. And if, you know, and I was like, wow, this is like the first time, if not a few, you know, one of the very few times Johnny was a good teacher. I was like, hey, right on.
I know. And character growth, which is, again, just makes the show even more real and like real life, you know, where he's trying to correct some of his mistakes. And that's kind of what you want. And I love that because he treats Miguel or, you know, they have like this father-son kind of relationship because he doesn't have that with his own son, Robbie. And, you know, Miguel doesn't have a father, so they're kind of having that father-son relationship like, you know, he did with Kreese and Daniel did with Miyagi. And there's somewhere kind of meshing in the middle where he's trying to teach him these things. And I love that because that's what you want for, like, your kids, right? You want them to do better, be better than what you are.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was just a nice little touching moment. I'm glad you mentioned that.
And what I really loved about it is he's like, I'm only hard on you because you have the potential to be better than I ever was. You want that too, don't you? And he's like, yes, sensei. And he goes, all right, then stop whining like a little bitch and go finish your drills. But he's saying it with a little half smile and Miguel half smiles back. And it's like a warm moment. If you only read the script, you'd be like, what an asshole. But when you see the way they are with each other, it's like, aw, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if you tuned into that part? Like for the first time, it's like, what the hell's going on? Of course, all of that is balanced out by having Johnny let Kreese come back in and co-teach. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Shit's gonna hit the fan, right?
It doesn't sit well with me because I don't know how personal to get with these, but I had this stepfather that I didn't get along with and he was a dickhead and then he left and I was really relieved. And then my mom, all of a sudden he just showed up again one day. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And it kind of felt like that. Like, I don't like this guy here. Get him away. And it's good drama and everything, but there's a part of me that's just like uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing, Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
So my number two is similar. It's just contrasting like methods and rules and kind of the ideology behind Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do karate and how Johnny is trying to teach them honor now. And he says the baddest badass is the one who beats his opponent when he's at his strongest, not when his back is turned, not when he's injured. And Miguel, like his mom, I mean, Miguel's mom keys in on that. She's so proud of what Miguel did, but she's like, I didn't like the look on his face. And Johnny's like, I promise. What did he say? I won't let him go astray. Mm-hmm. So he's aware, like he didn't like the look on Miguel's face either. And so he's trying to change him. And I don't know if it's enough, but it's a good impulse. Now with, Daniel and Cobra Kai, Miyagi-Do karate, he's kind of vacillating in his motivations, like his whole starting this whole thing is about Cobra Kai winning the tournament and with dirty fighting and cheap moves and stuff like that. And he's like, you can't let the bullies win. Someone's got to do something. And he says he doesn't want the kids to think that they can cheat and get away with it. And I was like, cheating really? But I guess hitting someone when their back is turned is, it's against the rules anyway. And Johnny says no more cheating too. So he kind of goes along with that. No more fighting dirty. But anyway, I liked in the end, I think it was the end of the first episode we watched, when Daniel decides that he's telling Robbie, you know what, after he did his little focus exercise, he said, Cobra Kai is not the enemy. No one is the enemy. You know, we're not fighting them. We're just showing a better way. So that was a nice, balanced, healthy way of looking at it. And then when he sees Kreese and Johnny at the end of the second episode, he goes, you both are in for a rude awakening. So he just keeps going back and forth.
I know. Yeah. So frustrated with that. Because I was upset that was this whole, it seemed like the reason we were starting Miyagi-Do back up was just to, you know, kind of bring Johnny back down again. Because he can't seem to move past it. And he's so reactive to everything. And then I was really happy when he did have that conversation with Miguel. I'm like, yes, let's bring it back down a little bit and let's, you know, even things out. And then, yeah, like you said, sees him at the end and he's right back.
Yeah. But I get it. I mean, once we, you know, like I said, listeners, by the time they hear this, we will have already watched and talked about Karate Kid 3, but we haven't yet. So once we have, we'll be reminded. I just remember that Kreese was a big part of that and he really fucked with Daniel. So I could kind of see where Daniel might get triggered by seeing him again, because he's been nothing but evil in Daniel's life, you know?
Right.
And, and he's got these suspicions about Johnny all the time, like wants to believe the best in him, but isn't convinced. And so seeing that might just be like, okay, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, and I'm really, really fuzzy. It has been a very long time that I've seen Karate Kid 3, so I'm very fuzzy on that. So that might make a little bit more sense as to why he'd react that way. Because I feel like he's probably still got enough reason just from Karate Kid 1, you know,
But it's even more after 3, for sure.
Yeah, makes sense.
A couple more things. Robbie looking at the two banners with Japanese writing. And Daniel says, he's like, what's that? And Daniel's like, first rule of Miyagi-Do karate, karate is for defense only. And then they flash back to Miyagi in Karate Kid 2 saying, and he's going to the second rule. You see the same two banners and he goes, first learn rule number one. And then you go back to present day Daniel going over to the second one. I'm like, oh, we're finally going to get to learn what number two says. And he goes, it's really all about that first rule. And then, so I went back, I'm like, I want to know what the second rule is. And it turns out that the Japanese on the banner for the second rule actually means take the previous rule to heart.
Asterisk. See rule number one.
Yeah.
That's funny. So that's exactly. Kind of like, first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So funny.
I thought, and I mean, what I read was probably not a very reliable source. I thought it was something more being centered of heart or something, but I guess that your translation makes a lot more sense.
Who knows? I read it in the correct.
I don't know that
Wiki.
Mine was super reliable. Yeah. Yours is probably, I don't know. Right. Yeah.
I can't read Japanese.
I think I saw mine on Reddit. yeah, I don't know.
So, taking centeredness to heart would actually make a lot of sense. But I think it'd be funnier if it was just saying, go back to the first rule.
It would be way funnier.
As far as methods go, we talked about the whole cement mixer thing. Pretty fucked up thing to do, but it was fun to watch. Like, I loved, you know what I loved is when, the kids aren't sure they want to do it. Are you sure this is safe? What about the fumes? And then Kreese steps in and is like, this is the guy that brought you to the mountaintop and you're not going to listen to him now, blah, blah, blah. Right. So he gets him in there. And while they're in there, Kreese looks over to Johnny. He's like, have you ever done this before?
It seems kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
It's funny that he's the one questioning his method. Yeah.
He's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. Then the whole balancing on the circle of wood, the idea was cool. The execution, I didn't totally believe that thing was just floating there. It kind of felt like, it didn't look as good as I think they wished it would have, but
right, wasn't the idea. Mm-hmm. It had to be mechanical. It's like when you watch CGI, you know, you instinctively know there's just something slightly off because the physics isn't working correctly. It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool idea, though. And I like the moment when Sam shows up and says she wants to train. That was a nice moment. And it just a couple random notes about Miyagi-Do. And I think Daniel is kind of an annoying teacher when he's trying to teach them to do it together. He keeps going, no, no, do it at the same time. I'm like, chill out, dude. Come on.
Both of these guys aren't very good teachers.
It's hard to teach. It's hard. It's hard to train and teach.
When Daniel had Robbie in the woods, I thought he was pretty good there. But in this episode, I'm like, chill out, man. You got to give him some time. Have some patience.
Right.
Maybe he's better one on one than he is with like
with his daughter.
Yeah. Multiple students. So I don't know. Yeah.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Okay, Rima.
My number one, I'm just going to just kind of pick on Robbie for a minute. I know I can't leave that kid alone. I should just be quiet because he's a minor, I'm guessing, or at least in the show he is, but I can't help it. He's so darn unlikable, and I still really cannot pinpoint why, and it probably doesn't even matter. I feel like the writers are trying so hard to make us like him, and I'm sure some people do, and that's totally fine. And I think we're also supposed to be rooting for him as like the underdog, but I just want to punch him in the face. I really don't love that they kind of made Miguel the bully, but I mean, I understand what they're trying to do with the story, you know, or at least my perspective of it, Robbie being the son of the bully, Johnny, ends up being the one that you root for or that you're supposed to root for. And then he, you know, kind of goes good because we saw him, how he kind of started off a little bit like a juvenile delinquent. He's kind of, you know, with Daniel's help and teachings, you know, kind of changing his ways and, yeah, straightening up and learning, you know, he's learning from a good teacher. And Miguel, who was, you know, the really nice, sweet kid, he ends up being a bully and going down the wrong path because of his teacher.
Harassing the new Cobra Kai students and stuff.
Exactly. So, which kind of also ties in with the story of the Karate Kid, you know, with Johnny and Daniel and their teachers, you know, and how they were influential in their lives and how they turned out. So you're kind of seeing it here as well.
Right. The difference is in Karate Kid, Daniel seemed like a good kid already, or at least I thought so.
Yeah.
And we didn't see what Johnny was like before. But here you see them like turning the kids into something that they weren't before.
Exactly. Yeah. But so, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, maybe by the end of the season or something, they'll do something that I'll end up liking him. I just, you know, I mean, I feel bad for him as like what he's going through, like his home life really sucks. You know, he's still kind of on the outs with Johnny. I feel like Johnny's kind of trying to get there. He just doesn't know how. And it's hard to fault him for that. I mean, it's not easy being a parent, even when you've had good role model parents, but, you know, when you haven't had great role model parents, I mean, I think Johnny's mom was an okay parent, and we don't really see a lot about her, learn about her, but he didn't have his real dad in his life, and his stepdad was a piece of crap, and he had Kreese, who he saw as a father figure. That's what he had. So he doesn't have a good model to be a good dad. So, you know, I know he's trying to, and Robbie is a little, I think, still resistant to that. And maybe still a little resentful towards, Johnny for that. But, so I don't know. I feel really bad for his home life. His mom's still a piece of crap. Not thrilled with her.
Oh my God. She's a real piece of work, isn't she?
I mean, she's so unreliable.
Like, she's like getting ready to leave without even telling him goodbye. And when he's like, what about the rent? And she's like, to her boyfriend, oh, you're going to cover that, right? So she wasn't even sure. And then the electricity goes out. And I mean, yeah, that kills me too. Because I mean, my mom had me when she was 18. And so she was really young. And she was a much better mother than Robbie's mom. But there were times mm-hmm. where I felt like, she's kind of unreliable. I can't always trust she's going to do what she says she's going to do. And as a kid, that's not a good feeling. Right. You know? You want stability and to trust.
Yeah. I had kind of a similar, raised by a single mom, and I was a latchkey kid, you know, in the 80s, as many people were. So, you know, kind of, and yeah, just kind of similar, where it was unstable, a little bit unreliable as far as the, you know, parenting and being uprooted a lot without a lot of notice or being even asked if you know, what my thoughts were. We're just gonna do this and you're just gonna like it. And, you know, that caused a lot of rebellion in my years.
I love you, though. So, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Exactly.
So, Rich, yeah, what did you think of Robbie? I don't really know what you think of him in general. And did you think this episode was any different?
No, not really. I mean, I see Robbie as just a kid who's down on his luck and is doing the best as he can. He's still a kid, so he's got limited knowledge. He doesn't have the answer for a lot of the stuff that's happening. So he's also got the whole, you know, I can take care of myself, the pride thing that comes along with a lot of boys, you know. And so I think he's doing fine, because he has moments where he's insightful and he's instinctively like on the right track. He just doesn't know which direction to take. And so I think Daniel has come into his life at the perfect time to help guide this kid. Mm-hmm. He may or may not make some dumbass decisions like all kids do, but, you know, has yet to be seen, because I think he's been doing pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, he started mm-hmm. off scamming people, you know, with their computers and all that stuff. So definitely had no place to go but up from there. I mean, there was something about him that I just didn't like, the kid's mannerisms or something. But actually, this episode, I probably liked him more than I ever have. Probably because he's just being a good kid, but also, yeah, seeing that thing with his mother struck a note with me. And I don't know, it just seems like he's acting a little bit differently or something. But I was more on his side this time than I have been in the past. Yeah. But I do wonder if at some point in the series the two kids will switch teachers, whether Miguel will go to Daniel and Robbie will go to his dad, maybe.
That would be cool.
Twist. Yeah.
Fight!
All right.
Yeah. And
you have any more? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say it might just have more to do with the actor playing Robbie. It might just, for me, isn't clicking, so... You know, I'm trying to definitely relate to his character and feel for him in general as what he's going through. Mm. I think it's just maybe the actor is not pulling me in like some of the other characters do. Like Johnny's great and Daniel's great, and I think some of the other kids are really great, but something about you know, how he's playing him that's just not striking.
That's interesting.
Me,
so. Yeah, you know, they do have a lot of there's always something with the chemistry too of the actors, you know. Of course, he does have that stupid haircut.
I know.
I liked him better this time. I got to say, I don't know what it was, but felt more.
I'm trying to get there
towards him. Yeah,
I'm trying to get there, but yeah, it would probably help sway me if he cut that hair. And I'm not opposed mm-hmm. to long hair. I just don't like that particular style. And I actually saw a picture of him today. I didn't know. I didn't know anything else that he's been in, but I guess he was in that show Girl Meets World, which was the Boy Meets World like reboot. I don't know if you guys were kind of aware of that or not, but apparently he was in that, and I saw a picture of him from that show, and he had like a regular just like haircut where it was a little bit shorter, and I was like, why doesn't he do that? I don't know. I don't know. I liked him a lot better for some reason. I didn't even see the show, but just the picture, I was like, I like him more now. That's hilarious. I don't know. that's so stupid and shallow of me. I know I'm not proud of that at all, but that's just where I'm at. Hey,
you will punch a guy in the face for his haircut, and that's just how it is.
It's not just for his haircut. It's really not. I just really, something, he's just got a punchable face for some reason. I don't know.
He's too pretty.
And a minor at that, so I'm going to go to jail. I don't know.
He's 35. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, like Ralph Macchio and Karate Kid. Right.
Continuing on with the tradition.
Right. Anyway, sorry.
Anything else?
No, that's I'm done with my number one. I think I've stomped Robbie into the ground and I'm done for the day.
My number one is, so did I mention that I just recently watched Karate Kid 2 and Karate Kid 3? I think I did. I think I didn't. I don't know, but I did. Mm-hmm. And so there are a ton of references to Karate Kid 2 in here, which I would have never known if I hadn't just watched the movie. But there's a lot of stuff. Okay, so I got them listed here. It says, number one, the little toy drum, which was used in Karate Kid 2 to foreshadow the moves that Daniel uses in his fight against Mr. Sato's nephew at the end of the movie. That little toy drum that you go side to side, and the little things bang on each side.
Yes, when the whole crowd started.
That was basically the crane technique of Karate Kid 2.
Right, yeah. It was this thing where you're supposed to spin and punch at the same time. It's like, that's how he won. And then, I think Jason mentioned this, we have the dojo rules that were hanging on the wall. Those dojo rules, rule number one and rule number two, were on the wall of the Miyagi's family dojo in Okinawa. And I think, Jay, Miyagi actually does say that. He says, rule number one, whatever the rule number one was, I forget. And then rule number two says,
karate's for defense only.
Yeah. And then rule number two, he said, see rule number one.
Yeah. But you think that he's just being cute or something. At least that's what I thought. I didn't think that's what it actually said.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I wonder if Mr. Miyagi was telling that to Daniel because he knows Daniel's a little bit of a hothead. And he knows he needs to maybe temper that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, don't use karate like Johnny and them do, because Johnny is a little bit of a hothead too and had a bad teacher and was aggressive. Maybe he was just trying to, I don't know, that just literally came to me to always just use it for self-defense because he knew he had a little bit of a temper.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He was reactive. I don't know.
The second movie was all about Miyagi. I mean, you dive into his family history, you see his old girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, I think I said to my wife while we were watching it, man, whenever Miyagi speaks, he tells you just the basics of what you need to know. I don't know if it's a language barrier or if it's just how he communicates, but after you're done with the movie, you're like, whenever Miyagi speaks, you better listen to every single word he says because it has a lot of weight.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Also, there's the Medal of Honor in the case, which Daniel made for Miyagi. He actually made that case in the beginning of Karate Kid 2. He says, hey, I made this for you, Mr. Miyagi, when he was building that addition to Miyagi's house because he was going to move in with Miyagi. Daniel says to Kreese, how's your knuckles? Which, of course, is referring to his confrontation with Miyagi in the parking lot. And, you know, Miyagi just simply moves out of the way, doing a little Aikido there. And Kreese punches the...
through the window, and then he looks at his hand in front of him all like, no.
Totally melodramatic. It's like pieces of glass sticking out of it. It was super bloody. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude.
So 80s.
Yeah. I was so like stoked to see that watching Karate Kid 2 because the tournament was such a big deal and it was just such a crazy scene.
Then we have the pictures of past senseis that were hanging in Daniel's dojo, which used to be Miyagi's house. Those pictures came from Miyagi's family dojo back in Okinawa, and Miyagi in Karate Kid 2 explained the history of where kata came from, or at least that style of karate, and how it originated with one of his ancestors back in the 16th century, I think it was, he said. And he
So we saw those same drawings, the lineage of teachers.
Yeah, they're the same exact ones that were hanging in his Okinawa dojo. And he went on to explain how
awesome,
like one of those guys in the pictures, like 400 or 500 years ago, was in a fishing boat and he got wasted on sake and fell asleep and ended up waking up in China because his boat floated all the way across the sea. And then he ended up taking a wife and kids, and he learned some karate in China and brought it back to Okinawa. And that's where it came from. And then lastly, here it says Daniel was talking about his girlfriends with Samantha. I think he was referring to a lot of the girls he hooked up with in the movies. He started off with the girl in the back east, and then he came out here and he said, then there was Allie, right? Yeah, Judy. Mm-hmm. Then there was Allie. They're so stuck on Allie. And then there was another one after that, and another one after that.
It's like, geez, Dad. Yeah, so the second one is Kumiko from Okinawa, from Karate Kid 2. And then he said there's one after that, and it could be the girl from 3, but maybe not, since I think they had decided that it was a tired plot for him to hook up with a girl every movie. So in 3, they just said, ah, let's just be friends.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And then she just disappeared before the end of the movie. She went back east or something like that. I was like, that was weird.
Yeah, I can't. I'm excited to cover that movie because there was so many things that I did not like about it, and I feel like it's going to be fun to point them out, but I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe I'll be surprised and actually love it. Who knows?
Cool. So that was timely for me. I just happened to be bored, and Lucy and I watched Karate Kid 2, and I was like, holy cow, they put a lot of references in here. I don't know. It's rumored that season 3 is going to be in Okinawa, right? Daniel's going to go back there?
I think some of it will be in Okinawa, but I think it could be as little as just one episode. I don't think it's going to be the whole season.
Because I was curious after these two episodes, I was like, I wonder if they're like foreshadowing, you know, that he's going to go back there by putting all this stuff in there.
I mean, it would be great if they get, what's her name? Tamlin, Tom something, the actress who played Kumiko. Be cool to have her come back.
That'd be really cool.
Okay, my turn.
Yeah, that's all I got there.
It's similar. I mean, it's callbacks and to the movies, which I like to do. And you said a bunch of them already, but Kreese calls Johnny Mr. Lawrence, which is what he called him in Karate Kid. Warm them up, Mr. Lawrence. Johnny, when Kreese first shows up, Johnny swats his hand away and Kreese says, still got that hot temper, huh? But I like that. I like that. Which is like what he said when Miyagi and Daniel went to the Cobra Kai dojo and Miyagi says, ask leave boy alone to train. And Kreese goes, you're a pushy little bastard, ain't you? But I like that.
Oh, that's right. Good callback.
No one touches the prima donna until the tournament. Yes, sensei. Johnny says, Diaz, Hawk, 50 push-ups on your knuckles. Miss Robinson, warn them up. That's like Kreese had two Cobra Kai do the same and had Johnny warm the others up. Like they're just taking little bits of dialogue. When Johnny's talking to the students in front of the cement truck, telling them what they're about to do, he says, winning one championship don't mean squat. And in Karate Kid, when they were beating up Daniel outside his apartment, and Bobby said, look at him, he can't even stand up. And Dutch said, yeah, that don't mean squat. So I guess that was a saying. Cobra Kai. Let's see. It was really cool of them to see. I mean, it was really cool to see them fixing up Miyagi's place. And Robbie's doing the same things Daniel did, painting the house, sanding the floor. And even Daniel saying, make bigger circles. Remember, breathe in, breathe out. Just like Miyagi said. Breathe in, breathe out.
Oh, that was another one I forgot about. When they were doing the hammering, he was showing Robbie how to do the hammer. He'd start the nail, and then he'd hit the nail in all with one shot. They did that in Karate Kid 2, too.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that was another teachable moment, I guess.
There's the drum. Daniel says, careful, that drum saved my life. There's the Medal of Honor, which is a big deal in 1 and 2. There's Johnny's second place trophy. I mean, these are all objects of importance. There's a lot of objects in Karate Kid, the banners and the cars. So you see the cars at Miyagi's, and I wondered if they were the same cars, and I looked it up, and yeah, it's Miyagi's truck. It's a 1942 Chevrolet pickup truck. There's the 1947 Ford Super Deluxe convertible. That's the one that Daniel took, the yellow one. There's a 1951 black Cadillac sedan. There's one missing. It's a big blue car, early 1950s Pontiac Woody station wagon. That's that one was missing. So the cars were all lined up in exactly the same order, except instead in place of that blue one was Mr. Miyagi's truck parked in there. Mm-hmm. And then there's a blue and white Nash Metropolitan. So I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know if they're exactly the same cars, or I think probably the yellow one is, since we learned that Ralph Macchio got to keep that, but the other ones, maybe they just had to go out and find replicas or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty, speaking of cars, it was pretty cool how Johnny made over his Ford or his Dodge Charger.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
that
pretty cool.
That paint job was badass. That
back
black
in
matte.
Black. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I have PTSD from that song, so that song didn't quite do it for me, but the paint job did.
Sam is asking Aisha to hang out, and she's like, well, I'm going out with these guys to watch Over the Top because the sensei wants us to be ready to answer questions about it or whatever. Come with us. That reminded me of the scene in Karate Kid when Allie and Daniel just had their date at the golf and stuff, and Johnny and all her Allie's friends and the Cobra Kai drive up, and they're like, come up with us to the top of the hill. Your little friend can come too. It's okay with his mommy. Mm-hmm. But it's just that theme of, you know, these people that like each other, but they don't like their friends, and so they can't mesh together. So that's a repeat. Let's see. Yeah, the whole thing with the girlfriends. I like that because about Daniel's girlfriends, because he's like, have I ever told you about my girlfriend? And I know about Judy, but I forgot because they've focused on Allie so much that I thought he was talking about Allie. You know, he's giving characteristics of her. She's beautiful and this and that. And then Sam says, what happened? And he goes, oh, I moved away from Jersey and I had to leave her. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I think they did that on purpose. They thought they wanted us to think he was talking about Allie.
Oh.
And then he's like talking about the second one. Then I met Allie. And then when she asks what happened with that, he goes, that's a story for another time. And I feel like that's the writer saying, we hope we get to tell that story.
Right.
Yeah.
Season three comes on.
But we did learn in Karate Kid 2 that she went off with some college guy. At least that's what Daniel said, I think.
Yeah. She wrecked his car and then dumped him.
Oh shit. Jesus. That's it's like where they do things in movies, like in one movie, like I hope this doesn't spoil anything for anybody, but in Aliens, it's all about keeping this little girl Newt alive, right? The whole movie, and she just busts her ass, Wrigley. Is that her name, Wrigley?
Mm-hmm.
Ridley,
and keeps her alive, and then in the next movie she just dies in the first five minutes.
Right.
Damn
like,
it.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Moving on.
The drawings of the teachers, and then the last callback is just Daniel taking pictures with people doing his crane kick so he can sell cars, which is kind of funny. And it's also kind of what I was talking about last, this will be a month ago for you guys listening, but about how that's more about the movie being a hit than it would really be like if some, you know, dude won a karate tournament 30 years ago. I don't think he'd be that big of a hero that people would buy a car because they got to take a picture of him doing his technique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
what
I said,
was that?
Nobody's celebrating Johnny. He was a former champ too. And
right.
Can you get a picture with you getting kicked in the face?
Sweeping the leg.
Sweep. That's funny.
I didn't quite understand the whole montage of Daniel and his wife selling cars. How did that fit in? What was that all about?
Well, basically, it was trying to show that, you know, she said, you said you could keep balance. You're starting this new dojo, but you can basically keep up with your duties here at the car lot. And so if you're going to take this much time off, the only way to keep up is if we sell 10 cars today. So they had to sell 10 cars, but it was cute and everything, but it kind of didn't make sense because you would think they should divide and conquer, but instead they were both working on the same clients. And I guess the idea is that they make a better selling team together than if just one of them had been doing it.
Yeah.
Good sales tactics where they can play off each other.
Can do it.
She's like a better salesman than him, I thought.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job. And a little unrealistic to think they could sell 10 cars in a day. But whatever.
Whatever.
It's fine.
They can get a black belt in 3 weeks, so whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Robbie's shoulder can heal in one day from sanding the deck.
But I did like that they at least addressed it, you know? They showed him with his brace on, and then he takes it off. So they didn't just ignore it like they did with Miguel's braces.
The healing power of chores and karate is
and it was funny when Sam comes in. Oh, I see the house is painted and the decks are sanded. That means I'm off the hook, right?
I don't know, man.
Well, and his son Anthony makes a comment too, like, well, is it still all chores?
Anthony's scene, because Daniel's like, why don't you come to the dojo and train? And I'm thinking, the first time I watched this, oh, good, they're going to get him to do something different than just be a little dickhead. And he's like, is it just chores? Eh, I'll stick to camp. Which I kind of admire them for just, you know, doubling down on that with him.
I'm kind of with him. Chores suck.
Yeah.
Chores suck.
Whenever I mean, if you know karate afterwards, it makes it a little better.
Yeah. After working in the backyard, I don't feel better than I did before I started working.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. What about notes?
I have a few. Did anyone else get a little warm and fuzzy feelings between Miguel's mom and Johnny?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I mean, there was chemistry in the scene when she's thanking him for everything with Miguel, but then later Miguel goes, she sends Miguel over to give him food because she doesn't want him just eating Slim Jims. I'm like, aw.
Yeah,
yep,
for breakfast,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Little spark there. I thought that was fun. The 80s fanboy in the hardware shop,
I just found him annoying.
That was my point. I found him a little bit annoying, and it was a little over the top for me.
Not entertaining, not funny.
Not
get him out.
I was pretty much like Johnny in that scene. Like, dude, I was parting with chicks. Mm-hmm. I wasn't parting with chicks, but
Can you just get my thing, please?
Yeah, get my stuff. Please just stop. And then I think we covered about all of them. Yeah. Take the glass door to the loading dock, please. I think we've talked. Oh, I was curious. This is going to really age me, but I don't care. I think I've done that plenty as we've talked about the show and talking about the 80s. There was a comment about... what was it when the kids were talking to each other in the restaurant? Miguel's all down, and they were saying, "It's okay, you can be like Drake." I don't know what that means to be like Drake. I know that he's a singer or a rapper, but I'm not familiar with
his
music.
He's a big time rapper.
Is he a big ladies man or something? I don't get it.
Probably.
So I don't know.
Player.
I should probably just edit that out so that way I don't have to sound so stupid. But I just really did not.
No, I think just for the fun of it, sometime you should say things like, yeah, when I was a kid, Honeymooners was my favorite show. And
I'm not that old.
Stuff like that. I remember back when we first got TV. It was so good.
Okay, moving on. I'm done with my notes. We've talked about all of my other notes.
Rich. Johnny says... thought you were dead. Kreese is like, you ain't the only one, kid. Oh, my gosh. Oh, brumation. Hey, that was a new term. I didn't know about this.
Oh, learning moment, yeah.
Yeah, when Kreese was explaining, why he came back, it was like brumation. And he went through this whole thing, cold-blooded animals. And I was like, hey, that's a pretty good introduction. Cool story to introduce yourself. I might have to try that sometime.
Where you been, Rich? Well, you heard of brumation?
You heard of brumation? Let's see. That was pretty. We already talked about. We have to go to Hawks and watch a movie called Over the Top.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm so rewatching that now. I love that movie.
Oh yeah, I had this note too. I was like, how do these guys keep running into each other, right? They just occasionally, not only do they seek each other out, but occasionally they'll run into each other like at a store or something or in a parking lot. It's like, you know, LA is freaking huge. How do they keep finding each other in this gigantic city? And then right after I wrote that down this today, I went to Target and I saw like two parents of students that I've had in the past. And I saw Chris Holmes, who used to be an old friend of ours. And I was like, wow, it's like, oh, I guess it happens a lot.
Did you give Chris a high five?
No, I was just like, hey, what's up, dude? He's like, hey.
Our friend Chris, one time we all had a New Year's party and he got really drunk and spent like 3 hours just getting high fives from everyone. So I always joke about that.
It's funny.
I thought it was pretty powerful when they were in the Home Depot or the hardware store, wherever they were. And Robbie, you know, when
Johnny
says to Robbie, you know, hey, you know, LaRusso, what'd he say about Mr. LaRusso?
He said, are you really going to train with that prick or something?
Yeah,
like
that prick. That's right. And Johnny was like, hey, you don't know Mr. LaRusso. He's a better man than you will ever be. And I was like, oh,
pretty rough.
Oh man. Sting. It was like a stab right to the heart. I was like, oh, that's going to hurt.
And that's the thing is, it's sad because Johnny is ready, I think, to step up and be the father that he never was. But because there were so many years where he was absent, and in this episode, they tried to make it like the falling out between them was about what happened at the tournament where Johnny's student fought dirty. But really, it's about Johnny just being an absent father. And, Robbie doesn't trust him now, and he doesn't have... he needs to be won over with sustained effort, but it's just, you know, cause Robbie is not giving him a chance at all. But I think if Johnny really tried consistently, maybe he could win him over.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Everyone's digging their holes pretty deep.
Yeah. It's very soap opera-ish.
It is. There was another powerful moment too. When Samantha and Daniel were talking in the dojo, and she says, but I don't want to fight them. They're my friends. Talking about the Cobra Kai students. And I was like,
Dad,
that's true. And then I'm thinking Daniel's in his head. Daniel's like, God damn it, Samantha, just pick a side.
Yeah. Or he's like, don't be friends with them. They're bad.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's what he was kind of doing with Miguel, like where he's like, I don't want you hanging out with anyone from Cobra Kai. And that's why she was so resistant to have Miguel and introduce him because her dad was so against it. And again, goes what we've talked about before, like with Karate Kid, everything was so black and white, but with Cobra Kai, it's so gray. And I think Sam really brings that to the forefront. She's like, well, they're not my enemies. They're my friends. Those, you know, I don't want to fight them. And thought, it's not so black and white, you know, in the show.
It was pretty good too. I think I got two more. He says they're in the car, in the new painted car at the beginning of episode 2, and they pull up next to the babes, and they're like both got the rocking the shades, and they're putting their, you know, they're rocking to their heads back and forth, and he's like, don't look Miguel, play it cool, and then they just drive away.
Right.
It's like, hey, wow,
cool.
That's not a very good move. He just left them behind. Throw him a phone number or something. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, with Johnny, I feel like the writers sometimes go towards the funnier thing versus the thing that would actually make sense, because he was good with women, I think. I mean, I guess we don't know for sure, but he did date Allie, so I don't know. But this is sort of like you play it cool and then you race off. You're really not going to get anywhere with him.
He's always talking about how he's hooking up with babes.
Right.
And then lastly, he's on the phone talking to somebody on the phone when Miguel walks in and he says, we take boys and girls. And then there's a pause and he says, gender what? Hey, is this a prank call? A little left out of the loop on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Johnny stuck in back in old times.
1980, yeah. Gender neutral wasn't a term back then.
Well, no. I'll start with funny ones, too. I liked when... I guess I already said that one. Watching Over the Top.
See, we got that on our minds. We just need to have like a watch party. And
we're going to have to watch it tonight, I guess. I don't know.
Absolutely.
We said all the funny ones. I mean, I really thought it was funny when he said your parents would be proud, too, if we told them what we did here today, which we won't. But the only one that we didn't talk about is that I like the scrawny kid with glasses with his shirt that says the future is female.
And Kreese is like, what the
fuck, man?
Jesus Christ, he says.
And let me just make it clear, I do believe the future is female, but I just think it was a funny image.
It's just funny. Yeah, funny image. But yes, I agree. But very funny.
And then I thought the gender what was a little bit like a miss for me. It was like, and we already know Johnny's, you know, not caught up with the present day, so it just felt a little mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm. But a little repetitive.
Yeah, a little bit repetitive. And the whole rate, the Home Depot store guy, I didn't like. What else? Gosh, we've already talked about a ton of this. Samantha blocking Miguel on all the social media platforms. Just that's mm-hmm. such a stark new difference from when I was a kid that I didn't have to deal with. And I imagine it would probably make it harder, right? Because that's how they all feel connected. And to have somebody have this, like, where you just cut somebody off like that, it would really hurt.
That's a good point. It's like, it's such a big decision for Samantha to mm-hmm. do that. And it's like, mm-hmm. I block shit every day. It's like, if I get a number I don't know, it's a block, 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 block.
Yep. Yeah, but it would be different if you, like, blocked your wife.
Accidentally. It's been so peaceful lately.
Wow, something just feels nicer. I don't know what it is. Just kidding.
So quiet.
I thought it was a little weird that Sam felt the need to explain to Robbie why she's talking to Miguel on the phone when Miguel used Aisha's phone to call her. She says, I thought it was Aisha. And he goes, you can talk to whoever you want. It makes it sound like they've been flirting and they're like, you know, dating or something. But really, I mean, you could tell that Robbie kind of likes her. But they haven't really gotten very far down that road for her to be apologizing to him. So I thought that was a little weird.
I did, too. I mean, I think they made it clear that Robbie did like her because we saw in season one before they were going to that beach party. And he's like, you know, so where are we going?
But she didn't seem to understand that.
No, she didn't.
That's why I didn't
get it. But
think it made sense for her to apologize to him.
I agree. I thought that was a little, I'm like, why are you apologizing for talking to your ex? Or like you have to write that off or something. So, yeah.
I did too, but then I thought, I think she's just being nice because, you know, Miguel beat him.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, he probably doesn't want to hear about this guy.
Yes. You're probably right.
You're right.
Thank
you're
you.
You're right. Good point. Thanks.
I hate Hawk. I think we're supposed to, but not only the stuff he says, like, you know, he's there with his new girlfriend and his friend Eli starts talking about the computer stuff and she's laughing her ass off, you know, like enjoying it. And he's all cool with the nerd shit, huh? It's like, dude, chill out a little bit. I mean, I guess I understand because he spent so long being just made fun of and being and hiding in his shell that he's going the total other extreme now and he's tasted power and he's just going too far with it. But he's just so violent and rude and mean and even just the look on his face or the way he laughs, like that, I just want to punch him in the face. Like, I feel the way about him as you do about Robbie.
Yeah, I get that. I think he's taking it a little too far, but I just don't feel like he's confident in himself to be able to, like, be okay with his nerdy side, too.
Yeah, exactly.
To be able to balance it with, like, his new tough guy persona, but he can also be a little bit
nerdy.
He's
just mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder where Louie is. He burned up Johnny's car and then we just didn't see him after that. I know Daniel said, oh, we don't ever want, he said to his coworker, oh, he can't ever come here again or something like that. But it feels like a bit of a loose end.
Mm-hmm.
And Miguel sees Robbie's picture on Johnny's fridge and is like, what's with that? So, you know, with the kind of core cast members, Johnny, Daniel, Robbie, and Miguel. I guess Miguel's the only one who doesn't know the relationships between everyone. So now he's maybe figuring it out. I guess Sam doesn't know either. Yeah, that Robbie is Johnny's son. And that's all I got.
What? I guess we haven't seen that she would know, but I mean, we know Anthony knows his son and Daniel knows and his wife knows. So I don't know maybe she doesn't. We just haven't seen that conversation or awareness.
But Miguel doesn't know.
Right. Yeah. Miguel doesn't know. What did you guys think about Daniel not talking to Johnny about Robbie staying at their house or staying with them for a little while?
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. It's like, dude, you should have just told him. It's like, as soon as he showed up and he saw Kreese, all logic and reason went out the air, and he just became a hothead Daniel again. He's like, no, you forgot about Robbie. That's the whole point you were there.
Well, he made a conscious decision not to, because he goes, I was here to ask you a question, but I just got the answer. So, I mean, like I said, he's had some pretty bad dealings with Kreese, and he already is on the fence about Johnny. So that just pushed him to the other side of the fence. And he thinks this kid, Robbie, is a hard luck case. You know, he is. His freaking mom left and his electricity's off. And he's like, but still, I think it probably would have been the decent thing to do to tell his dad anyway. And I think, you know, the show needs to figure out a way to keep the drama and conflict going. So I think it makes sense that he didn't do it.
Yeah,
I agree. I just didn't like it. I understand that, because it goes along with, you know, Daniel's, you know, kind of reactiveness. You know, he confronts Johnny and sees Kreese, and that kind of brings it all back for him. And I'm not saying he has any reason to allow or be like, oh, yeah, sure, here, you take Robbie because he needs someone to stay with. And, oh, you've got Kreese in your life. So, hey, that's cool, too, because he's a really great guy. Right? I totally feel like Robbie does not need to be around Kreese at all. I mean, it's already kind of iffy just being around Johnny right now.
He just jumped to the worst conclusions and everything.
He did. Yeah. He didn't even tell him. He could have at least told him, like, hey, Robbie's staying with me. His you know, this is what's going on, and he's going to be staying with me because he's not even going to know. I mean, I get that Johnny's been an absentee father, but he is starting to kind of care and give a crap. And if he showed up
Daniel
the apartment and he's
that.
Not there. Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, on the other hand too, it's great of Daniel to want to take Robbie in. It's a really nice impulse. That's not, you know, insignificant. That's pretty big deal.
Yeah,
bring
it is
another
a
person
big deal.
Into your home.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. I'm totally fine with it. I just think that he should have told Johnny that this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, at least let him know where he's at.
Especially when you have a teenage daughter that's the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not thinking about that at all. He's like, you guys are going to be spending a lot of time together.
Yeah. Get to know each other well. You're going to be a team.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Let's take a little break. Stay with us. There's more to come. All right, we're back. We didn't get listener feedback. We actually didn't ask for it for these first two episodes. But going forward, since it's on Netflix now, hopefully more of you guys are watching, and we'd love to get your feedback. So if you go to facebook.com/housepodcastica, we'll put up a post every week to get feedback on these episodes. But we do have a call from Steve Brown, who's giving his thoughts on the whole season one of Cobra Kai. I haven't listened to it yet, but here we go.
Hello, Jason, Richard, and Rima. I forgot your names for a second there. It's Steve, and this is for my final thoughts on season one of Cobra Kai. I do agree with you, Jason. It's complex. It's about both these characters. Both these characters are very complex. Both of them are. But the problem I have with both of them is both of them are letting something that happened 35 years ago basically run their life right now. And I just have problems with that, I guess. But I do like that we got Martin Cove right there at the end. And Jason, you were right. I believe Martin Cove was in Rambo First Blood part two, among many action war kind of movies. Back in the 80s, Martin Cove was a big that kind of guy. And I loved the ending. I love we see the conflict on Johnny's, like you guys talked about, the conflict of what he's created in his students. But at the same time, then he sees Kreese there at the end. And so we get maybe some foreshadowing that he's going to stay with that kind of way, with Kreese saying, oh, we're gonna rule the valley, or whatever it was Kreese said. And then you have the juxtaposition of Daniel doing the same thing, saying he's going to reopen his dojo. And so, yeah, it was I'm all in with the series. I've got to figure out how to get season two if you guys aren't going to wait for it to hit Netflix. And but I do love all of your comments. I'm really glad that we didn't see a lot of the karate out of Sam. I hope we get to see that in season two. I know you guys have already watched season two, so you know what it is. But yeah, I really like it. I like both these. I now like both these characters. I'm still not totally sympathetic with Johnny because he still does things that are, you know, when Bruce Campbell does them as an older man and he's with adults, it's one thing. But when you have an older man like Johnny doing these things and it's young, it's teenagers that he's with, it's a totally different vibe, or I get a totally different vibe from it. So that's the kind of problem I have with that. But so I'm going to send this to you guys. I don't know if you're going to do a wrap up or something, but thanks for your podcast, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, man. I'm glad you like what we're doing. I get the same vibe as with Ash, even though it's teenagers. I think it's funny as hell.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing you said about, like, if they didn't, about, like, Johnny and Daniel letting this thing that happened 30 some years ago run their lives. I mean, I like, as we've said, that doesn't, probably wouldn't happen that way, but it's fun, I think. And if, without that, we wouldn't have a series. So there's that. But also, I do think there's this thing about how we get fixated, stubbornly fixated on certain things that we should just let go, but our ego won't let us. That's a real human mm-hmm. thing. And so for this sure. Series is exploring that deeply. And so I love when series or shows explore things that are actually point to real human emotion and human behavior. So I think, you know, it's pretty unbelievable that they would do that with something that happened that long ago, but it still points to something that's true, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I'm sure that hold on to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I probably would too, if I had a better memory.
Yeah, totally, man. I mean, these people that have this condition where they have perfect recall, they have really crappy relationships in general because they can't let go of things like that.
Right. They remember everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that time 45 years ago, you said this? It's like, damn.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Maybe I need to, I think it's selective. Maybe I've got really poor memory with some things and other things mm-hmm. I can remember from exactly, like, I know exactly what you did to me 20 years ago.
Right. I mean, with me, I mean, there's some big things that happen that are harder to let go of, but for the most part, you know, once 30 years pass, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I could probably think back to high school. There's still some people I don't think very fondly of back then because of things that happened, you know? So yeah, I get it.
Yep.
Like the fights I got into a handful of fights, and if I saw one of those guys again, I wouldn't feel very friendly towards them, even though we're pretty much different people now.
Yeah.
Same.
Most of the stuff for me was what I said. It's like, I was such an idiot, so ignorant, and I said stuff that I regret now, which I am not willing to repeat on air.
I remember one thing you said, but I won't repeat it.
No. Let's talk offline.
If I was a politician, I'd be in jail.
You're right. I can never, ever be a politician.
Would you be canceled?
Right. I'm lucky I haven't been canceled just from shit I've said on these podcasts.
That is true.
All right, that is our show. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Glad to be getting into season two of Cobra Kai. If you want to write in or record a message and send it in like Steve Brown often does, you can email us at waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Who knows what's happening on there a month from now? I don't know.
it's a toss up.
Is anything on TV right now? I don't know. Are we all still here?
Yeah, I think. Are we still here a month from now? Who knows? Maybe this podcast will never get released.
Here's hoping that someone's actually hearing this and we're all still alive. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
The future is female.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.